you solemnly swear that we are up to no good?
Okay, welcome to We Solemnly Swear, a Vic Olsen podcast. We are a group of sisters who are diehard Harry Potter fans and want to share our crazy passion and knowledge for the wizarding world with our fellow Potterheads.
Today we have...
Nadine, your headmistress Hufflepuff.
Lexi, your head honcho Hufflepuff.
And Tori, your right-handed Ravenclaw.
Yeah!
Nailed it!
And Tori, what are we talking about today?
Dumbledore's office.
Your favorite room
Tori's
in the
favorite
castle.
Place.
It's right. That's right.
It is a pretty freaking cool room.
It is a very cool room.
And Tori,
that's where some of the best lines are there. Like, you gotta admit it, Minister. Dumbledore's got style. And you raised him like a pig for slaughter. Some of the greatest ones.
Those two lines don't go together.
It's very polar opposite.
Oh my gosh. Yes, so we are talking about the headmaster / mistress's office, which in the books we know as Dumbledore's office for the majority of the time, right?
Yep.
It is.
McGonagall has it for a little bit, but she doesn't change anything, and Snape's not allowed
Snape's
in.
Snape's not allowed.
And Snape is allowed.
Wait, is it Umbridge that's not allowed?
Yeah,
when
Umbridge
Dumbledore
gets
leaves?
Out.
There it is.
But, 99% of the time, it's Dumbledore's office.
I love
until
it.
Until he's killed.
Oh, my.
So, it is located behind the statue of a gargoyle on the 7th floor. And this gargoyle asks for a password, which I wonder if they change, the entrance depending on the house the headmaster was in. Dumbledore was a Gryffindor, right? So maybe that's why he has a password system. But maybe, if it's a Hufflepuff headmaster, you have to, touch the gargoyle's fist, fist bump him or something, you know?
Fist bump him.
I don't know.
What up, gargoyle?
What up, gargoyle? Anyways, some known passwords in the books that we see are Acid Pops, Cockroach Cluster, Fizzing Wisby, Lemon Drop, and Sherbet Lemon. Nice. Dumbledore liked candy and he really liked his lemon, so
I love lemon candy.
That's pretty good.
It is.
So when you tell the gargoyle the correct password, it comes to life and it leaps to the side, and there's a spiral stone step that moves up like an escalator. The movie depicts this exactly how I think we all imagined, right? In the cool little circular thing. They freaking nailed this one.
They just had the Gryffindor in, a griffin.
I can, hear the music.
They had the griffin instead of a gargoyle.
Uh-huh. Which was kind of clever.
What's happening?
Okay. Thank you, Nadine. So once you get up to the top of the stairs, you come up to a polished oak door with a big brass knocker shaped like a griffin, which, again, that probably swaps out depending on the house.
The raven knocker.
They have a room of
of
all
knockers
of the different
that
ones.
Switch the knocker out.
Filch is I hate switching this right now.
We also know that this room isn't soundproof because Harry stands outside of it more than once and is listening to conversations, which seems kind of sketchy.
Sketchy.
We know it locks itself to prevent Umbridge from getting in, and we also know that Dumbledore keeps all the books about Horcruxes in his office. So he has his own library in his office, the restricted section.
See? Dumbledore takes books
restricted
from the library.
He's the freaking headmaster, Tori. Come on.
Thief! He's taking my knowledge.
Freaking headmaster.
The Ravenclaw student shouldn't have the same privileges that the headmaster does. Just say,
why not? This is a previous debate.
I question authority every day of my life. Why can I not have the same rights?
Tori's upset from common rooms because we got after her that the Ravenclaws have their own special library that they don't share with the other students.
Yeah.
I have my own special library that I don't share with my kids.
Well, that makes
sense.
Yeah,
that's what we were saying. That was our argument.
That's Dumbledore's argument. He doesn't want to share his books with his kids, a.k.a. the students.
Yeah, we had to steal them out his window.
Yeah.
We always have that one smart kid. Resourceful. Anywho, back to the office. The office itself is a large circular room with multiple windows. In Armando Dippet's times, we see that he has drapes that are drawn over the windows. Dumbledore keeps the windows open, as far as we see in the books.
Mm-hmm. Armando was going through his emo phase. He was living in the dark.
Chamber of Secrets has been opened, and I need these drapes closed. So, out of one of the windows, you have a view of the Quidditch pitch and the beautiful mountains around the castle, which I think would look awesome. And behind the door is Fox's golden perch, and then next to the perch is a black cabinet. And we see this cabinet be used to store the pensive, and we also see it have drinks in it, which I think would just be horrible to mix those.
What if you drink someone's thoughts?
Yeah, like, that's what I was wondering. Like, is it bitter?
What would happen to a person?
Is it dependent on the memory? Like, if it's a good memory, does it taste good?
Do you see it in your head if you drink it, and then it's, like, your memory?
Yeah,
maybe you just feel it. Like, you feel the memory.
Like, you can see it and take it out of your head and be like, whoops.
Sorry.
I made a scarf. Just kidding.
Whoops, I made a scarf.
So then there's the desk. It's huge and it's claw-footed, and we assume that this desk just stays in the office with each headmaster, because we see this desk in Armando Dippet's time as well. And then there's the tall high back chair, and behind the desk is a shelf with the sorting hat on it, and next to that is the sword of Gryffindor that's kept in a glass case. And then on the desk, we see a silver ink pot with a handsome scarlet quill, which made me think it was a phoenix.
That makes sense.
Perhaps. Scarlet.
Scarlet.
We also know that there's a fireplace in there and that it is hooked up to the Flu network.
Nice. I love it. There are portraits of previous headmasters and headmistresses. The noted ones is Dillis Derwent, Everard, a gimlet-eyed witch with a stout birch rod-like wand, Dexter Fortescue, Phineas Nigellus, Armando Dippet, and they advise the current headmaster or headmistress. The portraits advise the current headmaster or headmistress. I'm like, what the heck? They send messages, and they also serve as lookouts in Order of the Phoenix as well as Deathly Hallows. They go to their other portrait that they share. They also pretend to be asleep while they eavesdrop, which is my favorite.
I know. Because
they, like, commit to the act.
They're like, oh, I'm so tired.
Oh, I'm so sorry. After Dumbledore dies, though, his portrait is hung directly behind the desk, and behind it is a small chamber where they hide the sword of Gryffindor until Snape gives it to Harry, but I don't really like that. Snape hides it from Harry and then makes Harry find it.
Oh my gosh, Harry. He needed it at the proper moment.
I know, but you can't just say Snape gave it to Harry. It like makes people think, oh, here you go, Harry.
He did Here's give this it to
very
Harry,
very
though.
Important thing.
What else? How else did Harry get the freaking sword?
He's like, okay, I'm going to follow him in the forest, and I'm going to hide it in this frozen pond, and then he's going to jump in and almost die.
He'll probably have a Horcrux around his neck that tries to kill him, and that'll be fun to watch.
I'm going to plan that, too.
Oh, gosh. Anyways, is it canon, or is it a Tumblr post that they have, like, the sitting headmaster has their portrait already made, and they go, like, talk to themselves and, like, fill them in?
Yeah, she talked about
canon.
It.
I think that's canon, yeah.
Yeah, she talked about the process of making it.
Yeah, so there's like some place in the headmaster's office then where their current portrait sits, and they go chat with it and be like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to be me.
I'm going to teach you how to destroy Horcruxes.
I will tell you everything you need to know, but you can't let anyone else know until certain days of the year.
Oh my god.
Of the year.
Cool. So then the biggest mystery of all are all the weird instruments that Dumbledore has in his office.
That's right.
There are several spindly-legged tables, which, this is Nadine's notes. She had to look up what that means. It means tall and thin for anyone who didn't know
I did not know what that means, so I know there are other people out there like me that know that spindly means tall and thin.
Spindly.
Oh, gosh. Nadine's Google search history literally says, what is spindly?
No, define spindly.
So these tall and thin tables have various curious silver instruments. We still to this day do not know what they do. We know some of them were, some of them let out little puffs of smoke, and they always seem to be on and working. But doing what?
What are they?
What are they?
Well, we know that he made them. They're like not normal instruments you just like buy at a shop. Like Dumbledore created them.
Because he's like an inventor.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like he made the light thing that
We also Ron know gets. That, again, I don't remember where we talked about this. But with Dumbledore, he was the Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher for a time. And he took some of those things from the Dark Arts room into his office and just kind of like inherited them for himself. So maybe it's some of those.
No, I think he invents them. But I think we do see it in the Crimes of Grindelwald movie when he's like teaching. I think you see silver instruments.
Yeah. So well, they're like all over his desk.
Yeah, we just like speculate that those are the ones that like he's inventing that he takes into his office.
Okay, so one that lets out little puffs of smoke. What is it doing? Guesses? Speculations?
My first thought is that it's a barometer. Like testing out the atmosphere.
Oh.
But that's really good lame. So I wanted to be something way cooler. So he knows when to travel by broomstick.
Maybe the color
so that
of smoke changes.
It conveniently makes Harry have to do stuff that's hard.
Oh my gosh, Tori.
I don't know. It's hard because I don't think they're anything like, what do we call them? A sneakoscope?
Yeah.
I don't think they're like that because there are people that like come into the office and the instruments stay the same. Like when Cornelius Fudge is there to fire him and take him to Azkaban, like there's no note of them like freaking out like, you're in danger.
You're in danger.
Well, also, what is Ron called? The put outer or something like that? The light thing? Like it looks like something else. Harry says it looks like what is it? What is it called?
Like a
lighter. Yes. Yep. But it like I love how they depict it in the movies. Like it like comes up and it's like vloop and it like steals the ball of light.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they probably have like way different like they probably do just different things than what they look like they do.
Yeah, probably like really intense tasks and then it looks like a simple object, but it's way more intense than it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know what they would be.
We'll have to speculate.
Yeah, because they appear to work, like, even when Dumbledore's not in the office. And then also when Dumbledore's not even in the castle.
Yeah, and maybe one of them's just like a hot chocolate maker or something.
It's like he always leaves it on.
Yeah, so he always has ready to go hot chocolate or lemon tea or something.
Lemon tea. I don't like tea, just hot water with lemon.
Anyways, while I was researching, I also found that the Wizarding World has a YouTube video that is 8 hours long with Dumbledore office sounds.
That's awesome.
And it's used for sleep, studying, and relaxation.
Mm.
And we'll have to post the link so you guys can listen to it. But I listened to it while I was researching this. And it is indeed very relaxing. It was so cool. And it like shows you different perspectives. Like when you first start, it's like a headshot, like a full-on view of like the desk and the chair. And then you'll like zoom in from like a statue on the ceiling, like that perspective, and then
that's cool. That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Also, you guys, I have to tell you, about what I discovered today, okay?
Yes.
What did you discover?
Oh my gosh. Your minds are about to be blown, okay? So I was looking up timelines for Dumbledore, like, when all the times they go into Dumbledore's office and when we see it and all this stuff. And then I realized that in Cursed Child, all of this stuff that's happening with Scorpius and Albus is in the year 2020.
Oh.
Tori already knew this. But, like, this is my theory. This is why, and the world's going to crap, is because they're messing with time right now. Like, literally right now, they are, like, and they've already used the time turner, like, twice. And
changed the past.
Changed the past. They bring Voldemort back.
This seems like the year for Voldemort to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Awesome.
Maybe like I was doing the math because, it, you know, it's like 19 years later from King's Cross Station, like at the end of the book. So that's 2017. And then it all happens in their fourth year, at the beginning of their fourth year. So that's 2020.
That's awesome, Nindy.
Dang. I believe it. I believe it. 2020 can go to the toilet. It's the worst.
Well, it's already like...
Tell him where to stick his grapes.
In the fridge. No, in his butt.
Well, it just made me think that, like, either Hogwarts was in quarantine and had to do homeschool, like, at the end of the year, end of the school year last year, so the beginning of this year, and, like, Scorpius and Albus are, like, so stir-crazy that that's why they started using time turners, is they're like, this is crazy. Or all of this is happening because they use time turners.
Well, so here's the thing, though.
I like that.
No one ever gets, like, regular colds or flus in the Harry Potter world that we know of.
That's true.
So, like, I doubt that COVID is really affecting the wizarding world right now. They're probably
I think in the book it even says, like, I mean, they attended their third year as normal. It's not like... Anyways, I just thought that J.K.
Rowling predicts, like, COVID.
She did! Hey. Like, she literally... She's a prophet.
Crazy woman. That's a little much.
But then I also was like, how come J.K. Rowling's being quiet about this? And then I thought she probably just doesn't want to get blamed for COVID. Like, she's like, holy crap. Like,
this is all your fault.
You saw this coming. Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome, intense.
I love it.
Well,
people have probably already figured it out, but my mind was blown today. I was just like, holy crap.
Nadine had a revelation.
I didn't think about it in the context of the fact that of COVID and all the great stuff that's happening.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well,
I love it.
That is Dumbledore's office. Anything else you guys want to add?
Where does he sleep?
He probably has a little room off of his quarter, like off of his office. Like,
that makes sense.
That's what McGonagall
does,
right?
In the movie,
right?
They show like a little staircase.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
And, like, that landing up top.
Yeah.
It's like a whole little apartment.
Never leaves his room.
Yeah, seriously. Cool. Well, that's Dumbledore's office. Yeah.
Yay!
Definitely reach out and tell us what you think these silver instruments are. Give us your best guesses. You can reach us on social media at We Solemnly Swear Cast. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you agree with Tori and Dumbledore and... We won't get into the whole Dumbledore debate tonight, but if you haven't listened to that episode, you should go listen to that episode. We would love to hear from you, so just reach out and contact and connect with us. Let's connect.
Mischief managed.